This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, it's REM with Sidewinder Sleeps tonight. Very, very nice. So many good things. So many things that are worth waking up for in the morning. I mean, think about it. You might have married someone you love, huh? I mean, that happens every now and then.
Well, speaking of that, Nicolas Cage. At the age of 55,
yeah.
If you marry someone, surely you know what you're doing, right?
Yeah, well, you shouldn't. If you're getting married at 55 and you get divorced before you're 60, you're just a terrible judge of character.
Well, try 4 days after getting married.
Yeah, maybe he's mentally ill. Maybe he's got a problem like this.
So odd.
Because 4 days, you know.
4 days. He's filed for annulment 4 days after marrying his fourth wife.
Ay, ay, ay.
Erika Koika.
What?
Who's 34 years old.
Yeah?
I don't understand.
Well, Leanne, I think a lot of these actors, I think they're playing a role so often.
That's also true.
And it's like, oh, this isn't working out. I don't like the script.
Yeah. And then they think the movie you can get off the set.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just leave the set. But Nicolas Cage is odd. I mean, he was selling a house in San Francisco. You know, I like to sometimes go onto these. I have weird obsessions. I go onto these sites where they sell beautiful property.
Real estate, yeah.
I'm always fascinated by what.
And they actually make really amazing videos.
Sure. And Nicolas Cage was selling his house.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful house in San Francisco. San Francisco is the most expensive neighborhood in America, the most expensive city to buy property in. Only really these tech billionaires can afford to live in certain parts of San Francisco. Mm. And Cage is selling this house of his. It's by some standards, you'd call it quite a modest house. A lot of people would say it's a luxury property. But San Francisco has sort of townhouses. They're not huge, big properties or mansions.
Big rolling lawns.
But very pretty. And he was selling it, and he was really struggling to get a buyer, which is bizarre because, first of all, it's a celebrity house. So some people would buy it just for that. Second of all, it's in San Fran. It's a nice property. There's nothing wrong with it.
Mm.
But he's just a weird dude. Like, the movies he's been in, he's so intense the whole time. A strange guy, right?
Mm.
I'd forgotten
he was married to Lisa Marie Presley.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Patricia Arquette.
His first wife. Patricia Arquette is a nutcase. So you can imagine what a nutcase Nicolas Cage is if the two of them got married.
Yeah. And then it was Alice Kim, and then this new one, which lasted 4 days.
Who's Alice Kim?
No idea.
Who knows?
Oh. He probably didn't even know. That's why it didn't last.
So someone has got a grammar correction for me. I always like to take criticism, so should we do this?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is Gareth.
Oh, correcting your grammar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
While you're on the subject of grammar, there's a thing you do which makes me cringe. Less and fewer. Less is for intangibles. Less time, less patience, less sand on the beach. Fewer is for individual nouns. Fewer jobs, fewer people, fewer grains of sand on the beach. I sometimes do say less jobs, less people. Yeah, I do. That's wrong then. Okay.
I don't know that.
Hang on. I just had to clear that out of the way.
Expulsion. No, never do it again.
Never do it again. It's gone. The bad has got out with the bad. Isn't that good? Sorry to be such a grammar Nazi, but I reckon you can take it as well as you dish it out, huh? Yep. Thank you. I will look into that. Honestly, I've never claimed to be perfect at these things, and I'm always happy to learn. So less and fewer.
There we go.
I had a girlfriend once who used to, she confused the hell out of me on, I can't remember what it was exactly now. I must just think a little bit. But she had me doubting when you should use a certain word, and now I don't use it anymore. I just avoid it completely. I make up whole sentences that go skirting around the issue so I don't have to use that word.
You know, it's not getting less or fewer is poo. Animal poo.
Oh. We're getting lavatorial on a Friday again.
Well, it's a big problem. The planet has a poo problem.
Well, yes. I mean, you just go to that river in front of my house, you'll know all about it.
And it's all down to livestock, okay? Mm-hmm. They're producing billions of tons of excrement every year.
How much?
Billions of tons of cow pets.
Billions?
Yes.
Billions of tons of cow pats.
Yes, it's starting to poison the natural world. So what's to be done about it?
Well, less pooing.
Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and
can you all just stop pooing?
At least 5 billion tons of poo each year.
Well, it's the whole meat demand thing.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's actually a poo chart of how much animal waste is being generated by the world's farms.
Imagine you go to a lecture and you think you're in an economics class and the lecturer pulls out a poo chart. Not a pie chart, a poo chart.
Yes.
Says, all right, here's the amount of animal excrement we're dealing with on Earth. And you suddenly think, my parents slaved for years to put me into a university so I can read a poo chart.
Yes.
That's when you leave. That's when you get up, you walk out of the class, and you never go back.
Well, you say that, but it's a really pressing issue, though.
Yes, it is. Yeah. With 80% of farms in the Netherlands already producing more cow dung than they can legally use as fertilizer.
Billions and billions.
It's like legally use as fertilizer. So is there a line where you're fertilizing or just spreading shit? I mean, is that where the graph?
I thought the
X and Y axis meets.
Forgive me, but the stuff I learned is that poo usually gets recycled back into the ground.
But
there's
a limit.
There's so much shit they can take, though, Gareth.
Before the ground just becomes poo.
I've taken enough of your shit.
Saturated in cock.
Yeah, that's it. So the knock-ons environmentally are that...
Sorry, I'll take this seriously in a second. I just need to catch my breath.
Okay. Are that we are polluting the air with this, with all the large amounts of harmful gases. So the gases that come from animal poo, and probably ours as well, but I don't know, are ammonia, nitrous oxide, and hydrogen sulfide.
Yeah, not good.
These can be lethal in large quantities if inhaled. And people that live near farms, studies have shown that they have a greater risk of chronic asthma, respiratory irritation, immune suppression, and even mood disorders.
Sure.
And then there's water pollution and climate change. A lot of this poo is happening next to sources of water.
Rivers like mine I told you about.
Mm. Exactly. So we've just got to this point where we've become too meat obsessed. Why must there be triple burgers?
It's a crappy problem.
A crappy problem to have, yeah.
I don't know. I had a steak.
Oh, there we go.
This week, and I love
well done, Cliff.
I love a steak. I'm sorry. I got maybe 80 years, okay?
Yeah, but sure. But I mean, you're not having a steak every day, though.
I'm not going to give up my few steaks in my life. I don't have one every day. I don't have one every 4 days. I have maybe a steak a week, maybe. Maybe every 2 weeks, you know? I'm not killing the world. Stop making me feel guilty about this. If you've had children, and they're going to have children, and they're going to have children, and they're going to have children, that's their problem.
That's true. We haven't had children.
I'm not. Leave me and my steak alone. You have a big people-carrying car that belches out carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide and God knows what other filthy gases because you have to fit your 12 children in the back of it. You take up way more space than I do. You have to have a much bigger house. You have to burn more fuel. You have to put all these kids in clothes. You have to. Each person you make is beyond two is environmental terrorism. And I've said this before, a lot of people don't like it. The fact is, if you're having more than two kids, one to replace you, one to replace your partner, you're an environmental terrorist. Don't look at me and my steak and go, that's a whole 500-gram steak. Do you know what your carbon footprint? Don't do it, because I'll bring up your children, and then we're going to get into a fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, actually, we should be allowed to eat as much meat as two children of ours would.
Exactly.
We should,
Plus our own.
Thank you. Leanne's maths is very good on this.
And I don't have a husband, so I could even eat more.
You could eat three people's meat.
people meat.
You can get guilt-free meat sweats.
Yes.
Guilt-free.
Do you remember, Leanne? This is a great time to bring up an old story, but it's fun.
Oh, old story time.
Do you remember when we went to that restaurant in Four Ways? We were celebrating something.
Oh, my word. I already know.
And we took Damon Kelvari and Mabali and Tabo and the whole old team, CS and everybody. And we went to this place.
It was an Asian fusion.
Asian fusion restaurant. Beautiful restaurant. Great food. Everybody was having a good time. In fact, there were some other people, some extraneous people there too.
Yeah.
Jen Su was there as well.
And we ordered food for the table so that everyone could tuck in.
Yeah, but
so
there were beef dishes and meat dishes.
There was
a variety of stuff. And, you know, that they had this really interesting menu and they wanted to show off a bit. And we all wanted to try some of the different stuff.
Yeah. And as usual, Damon tucked in and tucked in hard.
Tucked in. He basically ties the tablecloth around his neck and then just pulls it towards him while opening his mouth and cocking his head backwards and emptying the contents of the table, including cutlery, crockery, decorations, table and salt and pepper cellars, everything into his throat.
And I think because he grew up with 11 siblings.
He had to fight for his food.
So the food arrives and he just takes immediately. He takes and he admits he can't.
Yeah.
If stuff's for free as well.
Yeah, well, for free.
He can't hold back.
So anyway, and I don't want to speak ill of him without him here to defend himself, and we'll get him in as
but
we do.
But he will admit it.
He got the meat sweats. Do you know what that is? When you eat so much meat that you start to, you break out into a sweat.
It's like a toxic reaction.
Yeah. There's too much protein. Your stomach is too distended.
Your body's working so hard to digest all this protein.
You basically stop breathing. It's a horrible thing to see.
He eventually took his fabric napkin off of his lap and wiped his face a few times. He could squeeze the sweat out of his cloth napkin.
Oh, no.
That's how much he was sweating.
Jeez, I'm sweating from all this meat.
That poor toilet.
I'm sweating.
Imagine you're just a small porcelain structure minding your own business, and then here comes Damon.
And by his own admission, he has to shower after he uses the loo in general because it's not good. Because he has IBS as well.
That is horrific. That is probably one of the worst things you said, Leanne. I mean, you said some things. And he has to shower after taking a shit.
He does. He said so because he's got two poop holes. It gets messy. Just quoting.
All right, Sean says, I don't have children. I don't give a fuck what happens to the planet in 100 years. Besides, that comet will come and hit us before global warming gets us. I think I'm having a red meat Friday to celebrate. I don't give a fuck, says Sean. Sean, obviously a big environmentalist. Well,
he's got the right.
Yeah, you have, Sean. You don't have children, so you're allowed an extra proportion of meat that normal people wouldn't be allowed. Here's the deal. This, and it really is a deal. You know this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in America? She's the darling of the Democrats. The darling of
gosh, what a thing to be.
So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's a complete ignoramus. I mean, you've never, ever met anyone this stupid in elected office, and I include people that we have here in South Africa, because she has this proposition called the Green New Deal. First of all, she goes around. She was at South by Southwest this year. She goes around telling everybody in 12 years, we're all dead. Which is
from the environment.
Oh yeah, global warming, climate change. She's one of these people who goes around going boogity 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 to people.
Who's ass does she pull those stats from?
Completely out of thin air. She's made it up. It's unbelievable. She's one of these climate change fanatics. You get climate change deniers who are also morons, right? People who say, that's got nothing to do with it. This is just the normal weather pattern, and we're coming out of the long tail of an ice age and all that stuff. Those people are also crazy. But Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez proposes this Green New Deal, is what she calls it. So it's ridiculous. She basically wants all air travel to stop. She wants everybody to stop driving cars. She wants every building in America to be made eco-friendly and green energy compliant and all that stuff, right? It would cost, someone broke it down, $65,000 per family per year that they don't have into the economy in order to pay for this. In other words, it would bankrupt America, it would ruin industry. There would be no economy to speak of. She puts this on paper and she puts it on her website. And she proposes this in all sincerity because she's grown up in this fantasy world where if she just has good ideas, she's going to get praised for it because that's how American colleges work. They just basically keep them. You're so clever. That's so brilliant. All right, pass your fees. Okay, get out. Thank you. You're out into the big wide world. And you know what she did before she was a congressperson? She's a bartender. So she knows how to mix a drink. but she knows nothing about anything else. So she goes off to Congress. She proposes this Green New Deal. She's only been in Congress for, what, a couple of months? Mm. She proposes this Green New Deal. The media go crazy. They're like, oh, she's such a brilliant genius. She's got the right idea. Of course climate change is the biggest threat to everyone. Green New Deal's fantastic. It's audacious. It's brilliant. And of course it's a little bit, you know, fantastical. But what a brave woman this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is. So the Republicans go, all right, you like this Green New Deal? It's completely impractical. It's ridiculous. It could never work. You like this? So they, all the Democrats are like, yes, we like it. We're supporting it. So Republicans go, all right, let's vote on it right now. They go, whoa, 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 whoa. We didn't say we wanted to vote on it. They're like, nope, we're going ahead. Mitch McConnell of the U.S. Senate, the House majority, the Senate majority leader goes, let's vote now. You like it so much, Democrats. You're so proud of your Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or whatever her name is. Let's test out her plan right now. So they table it. There and then, they vote for it. 57-0, it is defeated. Not one senator, even on the Democrat side, had the balls to vote for this. They're all pretending. They're pretending that this young girl, who she's kind of attractive, but she's got nothing between the ears, they're pretending she's smart. And they're pretending she's full of good ideas. And they're going along with this idea that we're all going to be dead in 12 years because of climate change. It's craziness. So stop it. Sean, eat your meat. Everybody calm the hell down. Mm-hmm. No one's going to die from climate change. Not during our generation's lifetime or probably the next 12 after this. And the ones who come after that will have to figure out technologically some way of turning the clock back. And if they can't, then we go extinct. Like 99% of every other species that has ever existed.
Happen.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. It was funny listening to her. I don't know if anyone was listening or she was just talking to herself. She was just going on about the fact that we need to do this, and she was like just talking like a drunk millennial.
Well, she is. She worked in a bar, so she's probably a bit addled. I don't know. I mean, she's just not just smart. Sad. And she was talking at South by Southwest. I've been to South by Southwest 2-3 times. I don't know how many times. Saw Barack Obama speaking there. He was sensible. Seen really brilliant people. They've got some very smart people there. And then her?
Hmm.
I mean, you know, this is where really we've got to stop paying lip service to idiots because we think that they're interesting or because they show diversity. Like, this is not a clever person. We shouldn't be putting people like that on a pedestal. So there we go. More talk about the environment and cows pooing and whether you're allowed to eat a steak.
Stupid people. Yeah. Stupid people. Oh, here's a stupid person.
Uh-oh. Another one. Shall we alert everybody to this?
Yeah.
Stupid person alert.
A tourist has fallen hundreds of feet into the Grand Canyon while trying to take a photograph.
I knew it. With their phone, right? The selfie thing.
Selfie stick up there. Jesus. Back a bit.
International tourist died after he fell hundreds of feet into the Grand Canyon while trying to take photos. The tour group was from Hong Kong. Many of the tourists were taking photos very close to the rim of the canyon.
Picha.
He was attempting to snap a photo of at nice. Eagle Point.
Mm-hmm.
He was 50 years old at the time.
50-year-old. It's not even some, you know, 18-year-old who's trying to be Insta famous. Yeah. This is a 50. How embarrassing.
He accidentally fell off the rim and into the canyon. And of course, then helicopters are sent out, but at this point he had passed away. His body will be transported by a helicopter to the nearest hospital. Sure.
I hope the rest of them got good pictures of him falling there. So it wasn't a completely like lost effort.
I don't know. Hey, you joke about that, but
What a scary death, though.
I've seen these videos. There was someone sent me a video the other day of someone who did one of those... you know, where they jump off the edge of a very high mountain and then the parachute...
Base jumping,
thank you. And the parachute is meant to open and it doesn't open and you just see this person, boom, 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 smash down. And I mean, it's not detailed. So it looks like an ant kind of falling, but you know that that's the end of that person, right?
Yeah.
And it's just a horrible thing to see. So part of me is kind of uncomfortable about this, but another part of me says, ah, you know what, if you're an idiot trying to take a picture of yourself and you don't realize you're on the edge of a canyon, guess what's going to happen?
And you also, you're looking through your phone. I mean, I was on Table Mountain with my dad when I was a teenager, and he was walking towards the edge of Table Mountain, holding the camera and looking through the camera. And so you don't judge your distance properly. Mm-hmm. And he actually tripped on a stone or something. And hurtled forward. And I thought I was going to see him going off the edge. But
Carl,
that didn't happen. But
Carl DeSantos correcting me as well. He says, Montenegro. Negro just means black, not black person. So that translates to black mountain. Yes, Carl, but that was why it was funny. Carl, please don't make me explain the jokes.
Yeah. No joke has ever got funnier after being explained in the history.
Now I don't even know what to say. You see, you ruined it, Carl.
Oh, no. Well, okay, Carl. Well, at least we're not in Brunei.
Yes.
The Sultan of Brunei, he used to be the richest man in the world for a long time because they've got oil there. And if you've ever looked at where on the map Brunei is.
Borneo, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the island of Borneo. It's a little Indonesian kind of sub-kingdom, really.
Very conservative form of Islam is practiced there.
Right.
Sharia law.
Oi.
And they've just introduced a new law, death by stoning as punishment for gay sex.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
So, yeah.
Guess Elton John's not going to have that yacht party there.
It's not going to go.
Hmm.
And these crimes have to have
been... So, wait, if you have gay sex, they stone you to death.
Yeah. Look, you have to be busted by a group of Muslims.
Uh-oh.
Okay, it has to be witnessed by a group of Muslims.
So, in other words, you're in flagrante delicto, as they used to call it in the Middle Ages.
Sounds horrendous.
Flagrante delicto, which means you're in the act of, in this case, having gay sex. And then a whole group... of Muslim men burst into the room and go, ha ha, like that guy from The Simpsons. And then suddenly you find yourself being stoned to death. Shit, that's hectic.
Yeah, it's pretty hectic. And that's a brand new law.
Why are so many people who aren't having gay sex bothered by gay sex? Like, what is it?
It's a very good point there, Gareth.
What's the thing here that's bothering you? You're not involved. It's not you. These are two, you would imagine, consenting adults. Why is the gay sex such a big problem to the people who are not having the gay sex?
I mean, I've never gone through a day and said, you know, today was great, but unfortunately someone was having gay sex and I just can't be happy as a result.
Yeah. I think that he should be stoned to death.
It's a very strange thing. We really need to examine what this is. And, you know, right now, I want all those conservative people and people who think that the Sultan of Brunei and the people of that country are making a wise decision by stoning people who have gay sex to death. I'd like you to remember that right now, somewhere near you, possibly in the house next door or possibly among people you know and love, there might be some gay sex happening right now. And you know what you can do about it? Nothing. Just get over it.
It's ridiculous.
No, and by the way, Carl's come back and said, I'm so fucking sorry. Joke for the Grand Canyon story. Leanne, what's the difference between a sock and a camera? One takes photos, the other takes five toes. All right, Carl, trying to mend fences. I understand. Thanks, Carl. You're forgiven. All right, very good. Please can we stop with this ridiculous obsession with what other people are doing behind closed doors? It is such childishness and stupidity. Either you've got to admit that you've got a fantasy and you're upset that you can't watch what's going on.
Or take part.
Or you've just got to admit you don't care and leave it alone. But if you care that much, I've got to ask why. It's like, you know, if someone's cheating on their girlfriend or boyfriend, but you don't know them and you don't know the other person, why would you be fascinated by that? What's the deal there? Why are people so interested in what other people are doing behind closed doors? What's that all about?
Mm-hmm.
Don't think it's healthy. Got to get your own life interesting, you know, make things happen in your own life. Then we'll move on to others once you've got your own life together. It doesn't sound to me like Brunei is like the sexiest place on earth anyway.
No, it's not my next holiday. I'd rather go to Granbia, which is the Gambia, but now all the sexy grands are there.
Yes, the Granbia. Mm. You heard about this, Ben?
No.
Oh, you missed it on Tuesday. No. Apparently the Gambia. Amazing. Now, this is very good news for older women. The Gambia, a little country in West Africa. There's a lot of... It's a sex paradise.
For UK grands.
For like old... Yeah, yes, old women go
they're all
there
getting
for,
into these like buff personal trainers.
Yes, and they all hang out there in that strip, that other country. Because like the sex tourism isn't just about Eastern European girls being, you know, thrown into Dubai.
No.
Like it's actually, it goes the other way.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's about time. We got to level the playing fields here. So if you're an older woman, why shouldn't you be serviced by some buff personal trainer in the Gambia?
Well, just think about it. If you're an elderly woman living on a council estate having hobnobs in England, your doll money can take you to the Gambia where you're getting a big thrusting 12 inches. That sounds
I'd
to
me... I'd forgotten about that part. Ooh.
That sounds to me like a much more interesting Wednesday. And Florence and her friends are going, kick some cans around. No, no, let's go to the Gambia.
Would you like tea next week, Flo? Oh, no, I thought I'd rather go to the Gambia. What are you doing on Sunday, Denise? Well, I'm not entirely sure, actually. I thought I'd watch a rerun of The Coronation from 1953 on the box. Oh, no, I'm going to the Gambia for 12 inches. Oh, can I come? Yes, you can, several times.
It's great. All right, fantastic. What else is in the news?
Well, a mafia boss... Uh-oh. Has been stabbed to death by his daughters, Gareth, because of years of sexual abuse.
Oh, it's getting rougher.
Yeah, it's in Russia, so I mean, this could just be any other day, really.
Oh, yeah, it's like a normal Monday morning.
Russia, this is what they do when they're in their off time.
Yeah, Christina, 19, Angelina, 18, and Maria, 17. That poor mother, jeepers, talk about taking 4 years out of your life just to churn out children. They stabbed the dad.
The father or the mother?
And they murdered the father.
Oi.
Stabbing. That's like.
Oh, look, they must have
been
angry. It's
a real angry
thing.
This
guy was probably doing unspeakable things to these girls. For them to be so angry that they stabbed their father to death, they planned it.
Julius Caesar on him.
Yeah, he must have been just a monster. So my default judgment here will go to let the girls go. As horrible as it is what they've done, it can't even measure up to what must have made them do it.
Mm.
Sure.
So I don't want to think about this horrible mafia father of theirs.
Into slightly lighter impulsive behavior, $48 billion is spent a year on drunk online shopping.
What?
Oh, I love reading those things on Reddit.
Yeah.
People taking photographs of the drunk purchases they made.
It's a real thing. So 79% of 2,000 Americans got polled, and they all were drunk shoppers.
And a lot of the images that I've seen, they've bought something that's like dollhouse size instead of normal size by mistake. And they thought, oh, that's so cheap. So like a tiny little dollhouse couch.
I wonder if there are merchants who are selling stuff that they know people are going to buy when they're drunk. So they're almost... like false advertising. Like they're putting stuff on there that's absolute crap.
Oh, I agree. And it's the way you're coerced into it, sure.
Yeah, and they know that if it comes up in the search, some drunk idiot's going to click buy because it looks really cool, and then when it arrives, it's rubbish.
Mm.
Well, the average American spends, and this is because there's obviously a lot of purchasing goes on during the year, but on average, $444 is just drunk shopping.
That's unbelievable.
Just drunk purchasing.
I'm trying to think of more of the things I've seen in other words.
You've ever bought anything drunk
online? I don't generally buy stuff online.
Oh.
The whole dealing around it is quite dodgy, I find. Like, at the moment, I'm selling a coffee machine online, right?
Okay.
For 27,000 rand. So it's one of these proper restaurant coffee machines.
Yes.
And people replying saying, I'll give you six.
Oh, right. So you have to... But this, are you putting it on an auction site?
Yeah, like on a Gumtree's or even Facebook.
Yeah, you know
sure
what you...
It wasn't just a typo.
You deserve this. I'm sorry.
No, look, I found two buyers. It'll pay the full price. So
what are you complaining about then?
Are you sure that message wasn't just from Gordon? Yeah, he misspelled six.
the whole thing is just dodgy. You've got to meet these people.
Oh, it's the worst, yeah.
You know?
absolute worst meeting people.
Thank goodness it's not at my home. The machine is elsewhere, so that's all right. But yeah, I just don't like doing this whole online...
So, well, tell us about the machine. I'm intrigued. Is it one of those very complicated ones?
Yeah, it's one of those. But I'm not a coffee drinker, so I don't know. But it spits out steam and froth and...
Take up the whole counter big?
Yes.
Like the ones that they have at the restaurants?
Yes, it's from a restaurant.
Jesus, what do you got that for?
Well, the building that my family has in Melville.
What have you got going on in your basement?
One of our tenants was a restaurant.
Oh.
They couldn't pay their last month's rent. So in lieu of payment, they left us with the coffee machine.
Okay.
Which is worth 30,000 rand.
Yeah, I'm sure some hipster will pick that up for you.
Well, the guy who wants to buy it off of me has a mobile coffee shop.
Okay.
And he wants to start another. But now I'm in a bit of a predicament. Because somebody else phoned after this guy. And I had dropped my price for this guy, right?
Oh.
Now, this other man from Carltonville, Ben from Carltonville, phoned.
Oh, that sounds shady.
And he said, I have to get this coffee machine because I lost out on another deal. And my wife is very angry with me.
That sounds like a scam.
So he really wants this coffee machine and he's willing to pay full price. So what do I say to nice coffee guy, mobile coffee guy?
No, you got to.
He wants to see it today.
Yeah, but see, like, I don't know, Leanne.
You have to have some.
This is the process.
You need ethics, woman. You've already promised it to one person. You've got to go with
that. I promised it to him for 20,000 rand.
Well, then that's your fault. Then you've said you can have it 20 grand. You've got to honor your own word. Sorry.
But he's got to arrive with cash.
That's the other thing with these things. Do people bring cash?
Well, if they want to purchase it.
It's very scary.
Or do I give them my banking details? Do I sit there and wait for the transfer?
Anything more than 5,000 rand in cash, you have to be very careful because there's sometimes they might bring you the 20 grand in cash in this case, but they might also tell someone they're bringing you the 20 grand in cash, if you know what I mean. Then before you've put it away somewhere.
Oh, I see.
Someone's
taking it. On my way home or whatever.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. Please don't do that. I hate this cash economy stuff, and we've got such a problem in this country, which is why I'm thrilled that Patrice's Time Bank has come on, and there are 3,000 people a day joining.
Oh, I did one of those yesterday.
You did?
It took me, let's just call it 4 minutes.
There we go.
I have a card.
But what's important here is that a lot of the people who are joining Time Bank, for example, or Capitec now and some of the others, are doing it because they've been unbanked before. They never had a bank account before. They only dealt in cash. The problem with that is that this is the source of so much of the corruption and crime in this country. We've got to stop letting cash be our main means of trading. If you can use a credit card, and you know, I love this tap thing that they've now got with credit cards. Mm. I love it. So anything under, I think, 500 bucks...
They can just tap it instead of swiping it.
You do the same on smart devices.
Absolutely, which is great. And I like the fact that there isn't actually any real cash being traded. Because the minute there's cash, there's a temptation to crime. And we can't afford that in this country. We have cash and transit heists the whole time. You know, it's a major source of huge danger on the roads. Danger for security guards. I would never want to be one of those guys who's transporting cash around. It's got to be one of the worst jobs in the world.
Oh, just recently, I had to take my jewelry to a jeweler to be evaluated because I was changing insurance people.
Yes? And all of your jewelry?
Yeah.
Did you use a bucky?
I took it all at once. And it felt so scary having it in the car with me. Just
is it quite valuable?
In my cubbyhole.
Is it quite valuable?
Yeah, it's worth over 200,000 rand.
Jesus. Look at you, Marie Antoinette.
Worth more than my car, you know.
Sure.
Wow.
Look at you. And she's got traveling with necklaces. What is
crown jewels mole over here?
Yeah, I mean, look at her.
It's the stuff I've accumulated after two broken relationships, really.
Oh, right. So it's bribery.
Well, you'll be in the Gambia next, where you're talking about these things.
That's what she was really doing.
I've accumulated these jewels.
I'm ready for
jewels.
It.
She's cashing it in for the Gambia.
I'm ready for it. But also, and I've considered selling the stuff as well, and again, you can't just sell it to a jeweler. They don't buy stuff like that.
Uh-uh.
You've got to have it melted down, and you've got to sell the diamonds.
That sounds dodgy.
Imagine meeting someone with 200,000 rands worth of stuff at the garage to exchange diamonds and cash.
No. Alarm bells are going off. Not good.
That's what some people do.
Let's just stop working with cash. If you, by the way, if you are paying your domestic worker in cash, or you you do a lot of cash business, I mean, apart from the fact that if and when SARS, now that Edward Kiswet is there, find out about that, you could be in some trouble. It's also not safe for them, the people you're dealing in cash with. I mean, you've got to think about your domestic worker. You know, you give them whatever their salary is for the month in cash. Mm. It's really dangerous.
And then she walks home or to the taxi.
She gets robbed on her way home. And you know, that's a month's work that she loses in one afternoon.
And it's essentially the same days every month.
Yeah,
there's like a time where everyone's going to have money in their handbags.
Let's not do this anymore. It's just we're aiding and abetting criminals. There's got to be a better way.
A lot of the time, it's also in that scenario where domestic workers and gardeners are from other African countries and they don't have bank accounts in South Africa.
And then they send cash home.
Yeah.
And then it also gets stolen on the way or goes missing. Or it's terrible. We can't be using paper money anymore. There's no need. You know, everything's digital these days. And I know these people who say, well, if you pay for something in cash, you know how much it is.
You have like an actual feeling for...
I'm sorry, I know how much it is. I'm not an idiot. If I see two zeros, I know the difference between that and three zeros.
Mm.
I know when I'm spending on... The biggest payments I make are probably to SARS and maybe, you know, when you buy... When you're refurbishing a house or you're buying a car maybe. These are big transactions.
Mm.
And none of them happen in cash.
No, and also it's just easier... Speaking of SARS, when you're doing your tax, that all of these things are recorded on electronically, these transactions. Otherwise, you have to have the slips.
Yeah.
Lots of gluing of slips for SARS
that
I've done in my lifetime.
Male contraception.
Mm.
So now there's a pill, apparently, you can take.
Oh, tell me more.
So you take a pill, and it'll make your sperm pretty much useless.
Fantastic. But it's about time.
It will then do nothing to your sex drive, apparently.
Oh, yeah?
So rather than having to get a vasectomy or use condoms, you can just take these pills, and your swimmers will be, you know, not very good.
Would you take it?
I wouldn't trust it.
You wouldn't trust that it would work.
No, I just wouldn't trust this.
Listen,
because a lot of men are sort of precious about their sperm.
Let me tell you, if you're going to be one of those guys who insists that the woman is always the one who takes care of the contraception, it's time for you to come into the 21st century.
Absolutely.
Come into the 21st century.
The pill for women carries such risks, life and death risks.
Yes. Why should women have to bear that risk? And especially if you're the kind of guy who goes, oh, don't like condoms. You know, a lot of guys say to you,
like skin on skin.
Yeah, these alpha male douchebags wander around thinking that they are, you know, Casanova. They say they're the best lover in the world. I don't like condoms because, you know, it feels better without.
Mm.
Well, if you're not going to wear a condom and you're going to expect her to be responsible for contraception the whole time, I don't think that that's you bearing your equal share of the responsibility.
Mm.
So maybe you should take this stuff, Mr. Super Sperm, and actually give your girlfriend, wife, lover a break. How about that?
Well, how about this as well, medical aid people? Vasectomy should be free. In fact, you should actually get like vasectomy? Vitality or bonuses. You should be inspired or encouraged.
Good point. Mm.
I know, like, I have to go and pay a fair amount of money if I want to get through my medical insurer.
What, a vasectomy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bullshit.
Should be free.
It should be free.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Very good point.
It should be free. At the very least, they should give you a T-shirt or a keyring.
Vasectomized.
Well, like a fun keyring or something. Like, you know, get people in doing the right
thing.
A shoot of glass with like a string around there, so you can wear it around your neck.
I no longer shoot.
Or like political parties. You know, like you look at all these political posters right now. They all say the same shit, right? Nothing. They should have real tangibles like free vasectomies. Boom.
Yeah.
Vote for you right there.
Most people would find that the opposite of what they like, though, Ben. A lot of people want to have many kids. They don't want to have none. They don't want a vasectomy. That sounds horrible.
Environmental terrorists, as you just called them earlier.
That's true. So listen, here are some terrorists. You know, the Outrage Brigade. We love these people. They just get outraged by everything, right? There's a group of people online who just find stuff that they're not involved in. No one asked for their opinion. They've never mattered in the universe. They've got 10 followers on Twitter, and they decide that they're going to stand up for someone else. Now, if you are so busy representing someone else who never asked you to represent them, I have to ask you to step down and shut the fuck up. It's not important what you say. But the fact that I even have to say that is outrageous, because South Africans who accused the restaurant chain Simply Asia of racial stereotyping in their latest radio ad have the wrong end of the stick. Many radio listeners have complained about the way in which the Thai accent is supposedly being mocked. But in reality, the accent in the ad belongs to an actual Thai national employed by the Simply Asia group.
Oh, so, this is ridiculous.
So who's being offensive now then?
Well,
and also it's not Thai people in South Africa who got upset about it.
No.
It's non-Thai people who are protecting this Thai person.
That's right. Nobody. It's always, I'll tell you who they are. It's usually left-leaning white people who went to university. You can almost, with a 90% accuracy, pinpoint the kind of person. And I'm always nervous to do this kind of stereotyping, but in this case, I'm confident.
Well, they started it.
Loud, opinionated, spoilt, elite, liberal, white people who went to university are usually the ones who appoint themselves to speak on behalf of the poor and Thais and American Indians and the San and everybody else who didn't ask them. If you're the kind of person, if you're a white person who's done okay, nobody's coming knocking on your door going, please represent me. I've never ever heard of this in my life. And they're always the ones who complain on behalf of everyone else. So the Simply Asia ad seems to have got a lot of attention because everybody thought, oh, this is clearly the it's racial stereotype.
So people thought it was an actor who was going, to eat Simply Asia.
Come eat Simply Asia. Yeah. Now, what I'm just doing now, what I'm doing now.
Now we're in trouble.
Very offensive. Yeah. All right.
But in the meantime, it was a Thai person.
Right.
She's a head chef at Simply Asia, and that's the way she speaks.
Right. So why would you be offended on behalf of her when she's not even offended and it's her?
Because they thought it was an actor. So they changed the advert. And all they did was have her introduce herself in the beginning by saying, hi, I'm blah, blah, head chef at. And that changed everything.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with people? Stop getting offended. How about that? How about you?
Stop taking offense.
Well, how about you stop being offended on behalf of other people first, and then you can work on yourself after that. But you have no right to be offended on someone else's behalf. No one asked you. Show me the mandate. Show me a list of 50 signatures you have from those people who you're claiming to represent. Otherwise, I should chase you out of the room with a gun in my hand. Who asked you? Just because Twitter's there doesn't mean you have to open your fat trap, get involved in stuff that doesn't involve you. What kind of person wakes up in the morning and goes, I appoint myself to represent the Thai people who've been stereotyped in this ad. How terrible.
Meantime, it's an actual Thai person.
Who wakes up with that idea in their head? What little do you have to do in a day that you think that this is appropriate?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway. All you need to do is to go onto your local, your suburbs Facebook group.
Those are the best.
Oh, my word, the moaning.
The moaning, the groaning,
stop
the creaking.
Listen. You know, Simply Asia, do not apologize. Here's the thing, too, is I was talking to someone last night at this gallery I went to, right? She said to me, she had this issue in a meeting. She was trying to hurry things up because people were just talking a lot of shit, which happens in meetings. So she had a little bit of a temper tantrum, and then someone said to her, you should really apologize. She said, you know what? Actually, no. And this is great. This is the start of a movement. I hope it'll catch on. Stop apologizing to people who have no right to ask for your apology. People who are not directly in the way of you doing something that you supposedly are meant to apologize for. Stop it. Just say to them, no. I'm not apologizing to you. Who are you? Are you the Dalai Lama? that I need to come and grovel and apologize to you? Some nobody on social media? Who on earth do you think you are with your egg for a profile pic and your 12 followers that everyone else should be apologizing to you? If I passed you on the street, I wouldn't give you a second glance. You can barely string 17 words together and make sense. And now we've all got to kowtow and apologize to some nobody? I'm sorry, there isn't a complete egalitarianism online. The fact is, you might think that because you have an account on Twitter and because you have access to a broken keyboard and R5 worth of data that you can upload from one of the cell phone network providers, that you're equal to everyone else. You're not. Your opinion is horse shit, and you're not going to be apologized to. Now go back to your hovel and shut up.
Sit down.
Right. Enough of this. Simply Asia, well done. Don't apologize. And I hope that that Thai chef that did the ad, I hope you have good day. Right? Have fucking great day. All right? Make green Thai curry. My favorite. Love it. All right, moving on. What else is there?
Would you like some useless
some
yet
green
very
curry?
Some green Thai curry, useless but very interesting stats.
Actually, the red one's even better than the green.
Speaking of red,
yes.
Did you know Japan changed its flag in 1999?
It did. Ding 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 ding. But isn't their flag all right?
Was it like a different shade of red?
Japanese flag is white. White flag with a big red circle in the middle.
Yeah. So, I mean, we know that and we know it hasn't changed, right?
It did, because in World War II...
Wasn't there like those lines?
It
and
had it had the rays of the sun coming out.
So that was the big change. But in 1999, they moved the circle.
No.
Yes.
Slightly to the left?
Slightly towards the center. So that must mean to the left.
So what, was it not in the middle?
Apparently not. So it's known as the Hinomaru, or the Circle of the Sun.
Right.
Japan decided to shift the circle on the flag ever so slightly towards the center.
Yes.
It doesn't really help us because we didn't know if it was more left or more right. But anyway, now you know.
Well, you know what the study of flags is, it's called?
Flagology.
Vexillology.
Well, of course, it would be something that doesn't make any sense.
Vexillology. And a vexillologist is a flag expert. And vexillology is very closely related to heraldry.
Right.
Because it comes from heraldry. So the flags all represent things. The different colors represent different things for different nations. And you get very strange. And like the Swiss flag is a different size to all the others. People think
the dimensions.
People think all flags are the same size. The reality is the Swiss flag is almost a square.
Mm.
Doesn't, if you see it with other flags, you'll see it's a different size.
Yeah, but the Swiss always do their own thing. Always do their own thing.
Army knives and special banking and lakes, mountains with snow on them. They always do things differently, those Swiss. All right, you're lucky because it's Friday, which means we get to hang out with George Meany and we get to talk about cars and the lifestyle around motoring and all of those exciting things. How are you, George?
Good and you, Gareth.
Yeah, fantastic.
A fucking good day.
So, do you agree with me about this being offended nonsense?
Oh, no, it's
enough already. You know, all these brands who say, and you're the CEO of a business, all these brands who keep saying they want to be brave and they want to be creative and they want to break through the clutter are the same ones who, when something controversial happens, run to apologize, run to hide. You know what? The companies who will make a dent from a marketing point of view, the companies who will be respected, the ones who say, no, fuck you.
Well, I mean, look at Apple. They're unapologetic about their closed system.
There we go.
Unapologetic.
Closed system. You have all these people who are on Android the whole time complaining about, it's very hard to work with Apple. Apple go, and get Oprah to back their new TV Plus.
Our stuff just works.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. So, what's happening in the world of cars?
We have the car of the year being revealed on Thursday.
Very big deal, this.
Very big deal.
Everybody needs to pay attention.
So, I'm excited. And it will be live streamed on social media on Thursday.
So where can we go? AutoTraderCOZA?
Yep. Or AutoTraders Facebook profile or AutoTraders YouTube profile.
Excellent.
And we will be live streaming the event, and you will see who the car of the year is on Thursday.
Do you have an idea who it's going to be?
Well, there are a very, very few people that get to find out beforehand.
Are you one of them?
I may be or maybe not.
I hate when people do that. That's like when someone says to you, I've got the greatest story to tell you.
But I can only tell you how I tell it.
Well, George, watch out, because Leanne loves these kind of things. I mean, she accosted Sia this week about the Prism Awards. She really wanted to get into that.
Yes, that's true. So she's always trying to, get the inside track.
Yeah. Yeah, see Leanne's car in the parking lot of Water Trader.
Look out for that. All right.
So Tokyo plans to install solar roads ahead of the 2020 Olympics. They're testing solar roads to provide electricity to nearby towns and cities. Whether this can work or not is debatable, because these solar roads generate about 16,145 kilowatt hours of electricity annually, and cost about 5 million euros for every kilometer laid.
Whew, that's so expensive.
I don't know.
So what do they do again? The solar roads, they give an electricity power grid then to the city. They give an alternative power source, but they're not. It's not useful to drivers. It just means it becomes a surface that can be used to generate solar electricity.
Yes, I don't think you can really drive on it.
Oh, no.
It's right
so
next
is it
to
on
the road.
The side?
Yeah.
People are going to break those.
They're going to break them, you know.
Uh-oh. Mind you, we are talking about the Japanese. They're very fastidious.
Well, they're very good at following rules.
Yeah, they're the least likely people in the world to break shit. Yeah. So, actually, good place to start.
Probably because they get arrested for chewing gum, don't they?
Yeah. Well, no, you're thinking of Singapore.
Singapore, yeah, Singapore.
But I'll tell you something. If you put those solar panels in our road system, none of them would make it through a day. Not one.
No, they'd all have potholes in them.
Taxis, the vultures, the tow truck drivers, ordinary motorists like you and me, people on motorbikes, it'd all be broken within the first day and a half. Not one panel would survive.
I agree. But Tesla has put out a hackathon for finding bugs in their system. Okay. And the prize is giving away a Tesla.
Oh, very nice.
And Tesla got one after 4 days of hacking. It took the hackers 4 days to take control of the car remotely.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, in other words, they wanted you to find the faults in their system. And if you were the first to find a fault in that system, then you could win a car.
Well, you had to take control of the car.
Right.
By hacking it. And it took 4 days for someone to do that. Well, it just shows you can do it, or it can be done, should I say. It's not impossible.
I like these hackathons. You find these brilliant people, and it's better to get them into a hackathon where they can win a prize and they can help you develop a product than to let them actually sit in their parents' basement and steal money from people's bank accounts or break into like intelligence services and steal information. You know, you don't want that.
A lot of these hackers actually do crimes so that they can get jobs at these big CIA-type organizations.
You get hired at Google.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you've got more money than you could steal.
Oh, look what I can do. Okay, I can work for us.
Absolutely.
Then a new phenomenon. There are about 760,000 electric vehicles, plug-in vehicles, on U.S. roads. And firefighters are starting to have to design procedures to deal with electrical fires with cars.
Uh-oh.
Because there is this orange cable in an electrical car, and that orange cable puts out more than 60 volts. So the Porsche, as a matter of fact, that's coming out towards the end of this year, puts out double that, 120 volts in that orange cable.
Oh, my word.
So firefighters have to be careful not to be electrocuted if they cut a cable that's orange.
And I wonder as well, if you're in a car accident, if there's a chance that you could be electrocuted.
Look, maybe. These are the things we're going to have to figure out. Many people will die, but in the end, we'll get to
we'll get it
place.
Right.
No, come on. Like, you drive over a bridge every day, right? A big bridge that spans a huge ravine, like Storms River or whatever.
Well, look at the bridge that fell down here in
Grayston Drive.
Yeah.
People have died to give you the infrastructure and the technology you have. Never forget that.
That's so true.
You know how many small children, little children who put the little pieces in the little phones, how many of them have choked to death or not had a plate of rice that day? So you can have your phone. you got to realize, like, there's a cost to this stuff. And there are going to be people who burn to death in an electrical fire so that we can all have great electrical cars one day. I hope it's not you.
Well, I hope it's not me either. But firefighters are rushing to try and figure out the consequences or procedures to follow when
trying to
rescue somebody. I imagine you've got firefighters standing out there. You're stuck in this car, trapped, and you've got to have the jaws of life, but they don't want to cut the car anywhere because they might hit an orange cable.
Oy.
And also,
many will die.
You don't put water onto an electrical fire, do you?
Oh, no.
Yeah, apparently it takes a lot more liquid to put out an electrical fire than what it does a petrol fire.
Okay.
So this is exciting because we're moving into a world where these things are becoming more mainstream and we're now discovering the problems.
Yeah.
Hackathons trying to find the problems. You've got these firefighters who suddenly have to try not to cut through the orange cables. These are things we need to know. It's a sign of progress.
Mm. Exactly. Imagine when they invented the fire.
And we're not all going to make it to the end, okay? You've got to get over yourself. This idea that you're going to save everybody, that everybody's going to be safe.
Well, we're all going to die, right?
Right. So have a steak, for God's sake. Drive a Tesla once they've figured out all the bugs.
Well, weird and wonderful automotive world records.
Okay.
People have been trying to come up with weird world records for a long time. Speed records, fancy jumping records, jumping over buses, yeah. Jumping,
evil
flying,
Knievel.
Evil Knievel.
He used to drive over like stacks of cars in his bike and things like that.
So a couple of them are parallel parking. This is an art.
Huh. Oh, it's at speed?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not just people who are like in first gear, get it to parking, slowly get into it.
Can you parallel park, Leanne?
Brilliantly.
Okay, very good. Look at how proud she is of that. See her beaming? She's a proud parallel parker.
Yes.
George, I'm sure you have no problem with parallel parking.
Well, when last did I parallel park, actually? It's a good point.
These days, the car, you just press a button and some of these cars, they just...
Yeah.
Ben, are you good?
Gareth, I can parallel park my bike at any stage.
Oh, yeah. When you're in a car.
So, actually, I'm probably the best parallel parker.
No, I think I am still. I'm very good at parallel parking. I pride myself on that.
George, you know what? I think we have a contest here.
We have a contest.
But Leanne's often boasting about her motoring prowess on this show.
And I can change tires.
We're still looking for a challenge for Ben and Leanne. I was speaking to Angie about it yesterday, so we haven't forgotten about that.
Yeah, bring it on. Obviously, Gareth will ruin the car. He'll write it off, but I mean, we'll be...
No, we're looking for a challenge that pits the two of you.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to Geotech and do something.
We're looking for something for the two of you to do.
All right,
nice.
Then most countries visited by land in 24 hours. That's a world record. Most U-turns made in 2 minutes.
Oh my gosh, wow. It makes me nauseous.
Most U-turns made. Can't you just go round in a circle? Over and over again, that's U-turn after U-turn.
Yeah,
U-turn,
a circle is two U's, basically. Yeah.
Maybe. And somebody, 21 U-turns done in 2 minutes was the record. Sure.
And that was just right now by a taxi on Rivonia Road.
It's just not recorded.
That's right.
And then fastest time for a dog to wind down an electric window.
Oh, see, that's a good one.
But
that depends on the car.
Depends on the car.
Oh, I suppose the dog's going to use paw in there. It was a collie dog.
Oh, shit.
By a Hungarian man being taught to wind down a window.
That's amazing.
Took 11.3 seconds to get this dog to wind down the car window.
I know people who they've only ever known electric windows, so they don't know what to do when there's that. What do you call it? The handle.
Wind down window.
Yeah, but what do you call the handle?
A handle.
The window winder downer.
Yes, but it doesn't have a name.
You just take the area.
Window handle.
Oh, my God.
The window handle, yeah.
Window
winder. Whatever. That thing. So they look at it. You see some of these people and they look at it. They're amazed. They don't know what it is. They don't know how to use it. They push it. They prod at it. And they go, what's that? Like they think it's a lever.
But you know what? When we're in conversation, we still the older generation.
Wind down the window.
No, we say, and so I wound down my window and we gestate with our hand in a circular motion.
Gesticulate.
Gesticulate.
Gestate's a whole different
thing. That's true.
We went on holiday.
You're giving birth in about 9 months.
We went on holiday in December past Mikey's Fontaine. Have you been to Mikey's Fontaine?
Yeah.
Ben has recently.
Oh, yes. Recently. Yes, we were speaking about it back then. And they've got that museum with the old train stuff.
All the old automotive things.
And one of the things they've got there is an old telephone. Windy telephone with
a rotary dial.
Yes, well, rotary dial. Much, yeah. So we put Kerry's 11-year-old daughter in front of this thing. I said to her, "What's that?" She looked at it. She says, "Looks like a phone. Where are the buttons?"
Yeah. And did you make her dial your number? Because that can confuse the hell out of it. You think it's bad that they don't recognize it, but if you actually have a rotary phone in front of you and you have to go,
she had no clue.
And it used to take, like, if they had a lot of nines in the number.
Doing prank calls was, my finger would be so sore afterwards.
Call up the hotel or the restaurant or the garage or whatever. Go, "Hi, you want to order Thai green curry?" And then they
were, red one's better.
And then they put down the phone and you have to dial that number again. Your hand got tired.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then you learn to tap the thing.
Remember, you can't tap it too fast, otherwise you get a wrong engage signal.
We dial Tokyo.
Right now, there are millennials listening to this going, "I was with you guys up to where George was talking about the dog winding down the window, but now I'm totally lost."
It's like the other day I used to a millennial. I said, I phoned the vet at 7:30 in the morning because that's when they opened.
On your rotary phone.
Yeah. And I said to her, "Oh, sorry, your phone must be ringing off the hook at this time." And she was like, didn't know what I meant. And so I said to another millennial, I realized, "Do you even know what that means?" And she was like, "I don't know, maybe."
Off the hook.
I don't know.
Because there used to be a hook.
And
hang it on a hook.
The phones used to vibrate and when they rang because the bell was so big that if it rang a lot, it could actually fall off of the hook.
Oh, wow. Is that what it means?
Yes.
Ringing off the hook.
I didn't know that. Ringing off the hook. That's interesting.
So no wonder the millennial went.
Yeah, she was just embarrassed for you.
Another competition is the longest distance to pull a car by beard while roller skating.
Oh, that's a big event.
God, that's amazing.
Oh, my word. It's got to hurt, though, hey?
While roller skating.
Well, I don't know. Have you tried with your beard?
I'm just feeling my tufts now, and I'm wondering.
And then Leanna liked this one, the longest time spent kissing in a car.
Oh, yeah?
Wasn't that done in Menden recently?
Was it?
I don't know. I did it in Glenvista once.
The longest record is in Mexico in 2013. 76 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Good few days, that.
76 hours, but you need like a dentist suction like syringe or something.
Several tons of Savlon.
When I was in standard, I think it was standard five. What's that? Five, six, grade seven.
Yeah.
The kids had longest kissing competitions.
Very unhygienic. Huh?
Yeah. Longest kissing, 76
hours. That was the first time I kissed anyone was in standard five, and it was a guy named Radomir Nedeljkovic.
He sounds like an oligarch.
Oh, he was just hiding from the authorities.
You got not to be scared.
And he had fangs like Dracula.
You put tongue in mouth.
He did speak like that.
Really?
It was hot.
Probably one of Boris Yeltsin's illegitimate children. So how long did you go for?
We decided to do it in the girls' bathroom.
Wow.
During class.
Of course.
We both excused ourselves to go to the loo.
And nobody suspected anything.
And his fangs actually left red marks on the side of my mouth.
God, so everyone knew it was him.
Yeah.
Shame. Someone sent me a picture of a kid called Ahmad Chung. His parents are Chinese and Arab, and he has to eat hummus with chopsticks. Say no to culture mix.
He has to.
Sorry, that was a serious public announcement. Please don't laugh. It's very important. All right, thank you. Anything else from you, George?
No.
You know what, George? I think we've done well today. I think we've done enough. I think we've said what we needed to say. Happy weekend, everybody. Make sure you don't do anything that lands you in jail.
George, what did you make of The Bachelor last night?
Well,
shock
and
horror.
Were you forced to watch last night, George?
Well, yeah, I've been watching for you guys, but you're the most annoying person on that entire show.
Who?
Jackie.
Easily. Mm. Oh. Easily. The one's always having a bit of a cry.
So anxious. Yeah.
She's.
I've got such good medication that would help her. Really. She wouldn't worry about a thing.
Can we have Leanne's special consultant to The Bachelor show arrive on the set next week with some medication for Jackie?
Leanne should be the cocktail party host, actually.
Oh, that would be a winner.
I promise you, when I used to go away with bunches of friends, when I had friends and things, I'd be the go-to for if anybody needed medication for anything.
Yeah, well, I've seen what you've got in your bag. It's a pharmacy.
Nobody died.
No.
No,
there was one or two overdoses, but they managed to pull through.
I might have been drunk when I was prescribing something and got it wrong, but no.
All right. Thank you, everybody. It's been fun. We will see you on Monday. Here's the unnews. You want to know what's going on in the world? Aren't you in luck? Cyril Ramaphosa's son is still in the news for alleged Basasa bribe payments. He says he was just trying to follow in his father's footsteps, being a politician and enjoying free money. Further to this action, he is very surprised by all of this. I mean, so are we. British MPs are going to give the Brexit vote another go. They're really unsure what to vote for, mostly because they just want to keep this whole circus going. Seeing Theresa May working herself into a frenzy every week just got too good to give up. Don't expect anything conclusive to come out of this anytime soon. And finally, this weekend in Sharkhanda, the Shark Panthers are taking on the Captain Pretorias in a thrilling Super Rugby match. Well, not really, but if you believe the team names, you could believe Super Rugby's still watchable. All right, have a happy day. Just one last thing from Carl. He says, Carl's been emailing us a lot this morning. This is not my dog, Carl. It's a Carl that listens to us. Carl says, nobody wins in the Simply Asia debacle. It's always going to be a tie. All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.